2 years ago, we provided a study. We asked people who were diagnosed late and very late about the way from they started to feel not good, some symptoms appeared, and the way how many times it took to HIV diagnosis. And people answered that it took about from 6 months to 6 years. They went to a lot of clinic or hospitals. They visited a lot of doctors, private, public doctors. They did many examinations, many tests. They spent many, many money, but nobody offered the HIV test.
From PHI Media, I'm Gordon Thane, and this is Combating HIV/AIDS in Ukraine, episode 221, Impact of War, Stigma, Mass Migration, and the Promise of Universal Testing. You're listening to the Public Health Insight podcast, your go-to space for all things public health and global health, from the Sustainable Development Goals to the social determinants of health, as well as interesting dialogues about the diverse career opportunities that exist in these fields. Remember to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so other people like you can benefit from our content. The HIV/AIDS epidemic in Ukraine has moved through various stages, from its initial appearance in the 1990s to the COVID-19 pandemic, and now with the recent conflict with Russia. The access and uptake of preventative and medical services related to HIV remains a challenge for a country that ranks second in HIV prevalence in Europe. This is what you'll hear about in this episode, the final part of my conversation with Dr. Lopatina, who has worked as an infectious disease doctor for HIV-positive patients at the inpatient department at the Kyiv Institute of Epidemiology and Infectious Diseases. A good place to start is, like, there's multiple different phases, and I think you started talking about it where you were first getting into medicine, HIV/AIDS was becoming more of a topic being discussed in infectious disease practice. Can you walk us through the different stages of the HIV/AIDS epidemic? In the 90s, kind of first came on the scene, a lot of hospitals were dealing with it, and then most recently now we have the complexity with the COVID-19 pandemic and how the country navigated around that. And then with the recent invasion, there's another layer of it on top of everything that was already going on. So start from the beginning. So 1990s, HIV/AIDS, how did that unfold?
Yeah, the epidemic of cases of HIV appeared in Ukraine in the 18s. And it was people like seamen, and sex worker women. And then HIV spread inside of IDU's community. On that time, was not any imagining about prevention, and HIV spread very quickly. Then epidemic affected female partners of IDUs, and maybe peak of epidemic happened in mid of 2000s. And now we observe some stabilization of HIV epidemic because of treatment is accessible and we know a lot of prevention. But we're still far from end of HIV epidemic in Ukraine. COVID-19 did not influence a lot on HIV epidemic. I think because of treatment was widely accessible for people, COVID-19 didn't lead to escalate of epidemic.
Okay. Quick question on that. Was there a fear that it would? Was that one of the things that when COVID happened, in your discussions with other leadership, was that something you were worried about mm-hmm. happening? Or based on the information you had, you felt that the programs and treatment programs that were in place would make sure that COVID-19 didn't influence? Was that surprising that it didn't go up?
No, it was not surprising if you know very good how virus is spread. So this is not a surprise for infection diseases doctors, for epidemiologists, because of social isolation also influence on this.
Against the backdrop of ongoing conflict, Dr. Lopatina highlights the intricate challenges of monitoring HIV trends in Ukraine, especially in territories affected by conflict and mass migration. The implications of war on healthcare access and data integrity casts a large shadow over the nation's battle with HIV and its future outlook.
But now, war. We see that number of cases decrease in Ukraine, but Ukraine now has quite big part of occupied territories. So we don't know what happens with HIV on that territories. Right. We don't count statistics from these territories. Right. Another important thing that mass people move abroad, we also don't know what happened. Another thing that war is risk factor for all infections and for HIV and other STIs as well. And HIV is a long period without any symptoms. My suspicions that war influences on HIV a lot, and the result we will see maybe in five years later. Not good for HIV. So this is a very difficult period for us, and we need to do a lot to stop this negative trend. But if you see only on statistic, this is good. Mm-hmm. But if you think about future, you need to understand that this is not good, because all infection diseases, they get a chance to spread when natural disasters happened or war happened. So this is very good period for infection diseases to affect more and more people.
And you mentioned too, even the caution to looking at the data, because you mentioned that there's territories now occupied that are no longer factored in. There's people leaving the country, so they're not followed in terms of if they are a current infection or if it was undetected, so you don't have the chance to follow those numbers. So, but your concern is in 5 years from now, because HIV/AIDS, it takes a while for it to become symptomatic. Mm-hmm. You're worried that in a while from now, we really see the impact of what's happening now. Ukraine's sobering reality as a country with the second highest prevalence of HIV across Europe reflects a nuanced picture of the epidemic. Dr. Lopatina underscores the demographic pattern with a higher burden in men aged 30 to 35 and shedding the light on persistent challenges of stigma and prevention efforts.
Ukraine ranks second in terms of HIV prevalence in the European Union region.
Wow,
second. Yes.
Wow.
So...
And that's not even factoring in 5 years when the results of the war.
And most cases HIV infection are registered in men, about 60% men and 40% women. And age 30 to 45. This is the most sexually active period.
Like in many other countries, unprotected sex emerges as a predominant driver of new HIV infections, accounting for a significant majority of the cases. But when you take into account the effectiveness of available preventative measures, it appears there is a mismatch between the perceived risk and the actual vulnerability to HIV at the population level. Dr. Lopatina believes that this underscores
the pressing need for comprehensive education and destigmatizing efforts.
And this is a very important thing that people, general population in Ukraine consider condom using as a pregnancy.
Right.
People, unfortunately, do not think about prevention HIV and other STIs. When there is no risk of pregnancy, people do not condom, mostly. So this is very important thing, and we should work on this thing and do a lot of prevention, explain people and provide information people about STIs and HIV. Mm-hmm. Because people know that HIV transmitted by sex, but people do not think that this is about me, for example. This is about somebody else, not about me. Why about me? I'm not, for example, a gay man. I'm not a sex worker. I'm not a drug user. This is not about, this is not my problem.
I think that's really interesting. There's the perceived risk of STIs and HIV infections. People underestimate how much of a risk it is through even unprotected sex, for example, not understanding the importance of something like condoms beyond just contraception, but in the bigger protection from STI, HIV.
Unprotected sex is a male main driver. About 70% in Ukraine happens through unprotected sex. Yes, wow. And 30% still through using dirty needles. Yes, so this is still actual for Ukraine drug using.
In talking with Dr. Lopatina, it is clear that there are many challenges that need to be overcome. However, as we went through the conversation, there were two main themes that emerged. The first, health promotion, to limit the risk of behaviors with an inherent increased risk of HIV infection, such as unprotected sex. The second, self-stigma, social stigma, and stigma from the medical community. The problem this creates is people are reluctant to seek testing, and even when they do seek healthcare after experiencing symptoms, they often get misdiagnosed, or they don't get the help that they need.
In Ukraine now, HIV test is accessible. You can do this test in clinics, in the clinics, and a medical provider can initiate this test. Or you can go to one of NGO and do this test on community level. But if a person associated itself with some key group, this is good, and we have a subject for prevention actions. But person very often are not associate themselves as a key populations, because key groups also stigmatized in Ukraine. For example, gay men, men can have sex with other men, but if you ask this man about this fact, they answer, no, I'm heterosexual. Because this behavior is stigmatized in Ukraine. And so another thing that medical practitioners also stigmatized HIV in general. And for example, 2 years ago, we provided a study. We asked people who were diagnosed late and very late about the way from they started to feel not good, some symptoms appeared, and the way how many times it took to HIV diagnosis. And people answered that it took about from 6 months to 6 years. They went to a lot of clinic or hospitals. They visited a lot of doctors, private, public doctors. They did many examinations, many tests. They spent many, many money, but nobody offered the HIV test. Doctors, they thinking like only, unfortunately, HIV, this is problem. IDUs and sex workers. If you are not IDU or sex worker, the HIV is not for about you. That's why still HIV, get HIV diagnosis quite late and very late. When AIDS developed, about 50% of people get this diagnosis very late. That's why quite a lot of people die, because we have ART, very good regimens, one pill, one day, no problem to get ART, but you need to get this treatment on time. So some people receive this diagnosis very well when the health is damaged. And AHF work with medical institution. In Ukraine, AHF has 40 agreements with other medical institutions. We provide free tests for these medical institutions, provide workshops, trainings, and explain medical doctors about HIV. We show symptoms, we show cases, and we stimulate doctors to think about HIV and stimulate offering HIV test to people, to their patients. I know that, for example, in UK, United Kingdom, there is a practice on some hospital to offer HIV test regardless of symptoms. Regardless, in emergency department. And they recently they showed results of this work. And thanks to this approach, they found many cases of HIV infection. So maybe we need to change this approach. Wow. Of course, this is about money, but how many cost of the test and how many cost the case of HIV, not recognized HIV. And now also HIV in Ukraine, HIV has a clinic, we opened HIV clinic, where people can get tested and on HIV and other STIs and receive ART. And also we have checkpoint in Lviv, this is western part of Ukraine. Western part Ukraine is not so affected like south, but the stigma is very high in western part of Ukraine. So we opened checkpoint, this is community level place where people can get tested and consulting about sexual behavior, safe sexual behavior, and this place is very popular now.
Wow. Despite effective treatments for HIV infections being available and accessible, there is still a treatment gap. I wondered why that was, and why it turns out that stigma, so common and easy to overlook, had a key role to play in all of this. Doctors were reluctant to bring up the topic during visits, and patients in turn were hesitant to start a conversation about HIV. Without a way to get doctors and patients to feel more comfortable and safe in these discussions, there will continue to be many missed opportunities for testing, early diagnosis, and treatment. So I think the more I hear you talk, in my head, there's two main reasons popping up, and I think I mentioned it before. There's obviously the not recognizing the risk in the public. That's one element of it that would protect against new infections. And then there's the interaction between patient and medical provider where the screening tool and the testing is being underutilized in a way where someone's HIV/AIDS case can be caught early to get proper treatment. What is the reaction of the doctors? So you mentioned AHF works with doctors across a lot of hospitals to let them know about the importance of HIV/AIDS conversation with the parents. When you go to the doctors and say 50% of cases are caught in a late stage, and many of those late stage HIV/AIDS cases actually sought out healthcare many times and that was never used, what is their reaction to that?
A very interesting reaction. Some doctors came to me after workshops and talked about cases when maybe they missed this infection. And I remember one doctor say, I think we missed a lot of HIV cases.
Wow.
Yes, and also we invite doctors to present their cases. How, for example, how I find HIV case when I do not expect to find.
Right.
This is very interesting experience, and doctors share this experience between each other, like peer-to-peer consultation. Yeah.
Right. Good learning. One thing I read in one of the papers was that doctors, so you're saying, yeah, doctors in general in clinical practice could maybe do a bit of a better job to catch it early, but it's a bit complicated because sometimes that might lead to conflict in the patient-doctor interaction where if HIV testing is offered, the patient might take offense to it.
Yeah.
And then that might make the doctor less likely to ask in the future, worrying about how it can create tension and conflict between the patient. So there's many layers to it. There's the clinicians doing more. There's people understanding more, the stigma. And it seems like there's a lot of things that are contributing to the situation that we're seeing.
Yes, and also we study how to ask patients about behavior, risk behavior, because in Ukraine doctors completely don't know how to do this work. They understand. Oh, the pneumonia, for example, happened twice. I should offer HIV test. This is doctors understand very well. But how to ask about sexual behavior, this is very important for family physicians, for example, when people ask for care, but they do not have typical symptoms. And family doctors must ask their patients about their life, so about their sexual behavior, and they don't know how to do it. This is soft skills that they need to improve. And maybe this is more complicated than simply provide professional medical information about symptoms.
Right.
And doctors, how I asked people about sex, for example, what I need to do? Do I need to ask men about sex with men? They will offend me, and this is very important to learn them how to do this in proper manner, very quiet, very natural manner. So this is more complicated thing and ambition task for AHF than simply to tell about symptoms.
In a visionary outlook, Dr. Lapatina advocates for a paradigm shift towards universal testing, essentially transforming the standard approach to addressing HIV/AIDS in Ukraine. This way may hold some promise in terms of reaching the commitment to the 95-95-95 target. What this means is when 95% of HIV-positive people know their diagnosis, 95% of these are receiving the appropriate treatment, and 95 of those have viral suppression from the treatment.
If you could change one thing to create the best improvement in terms of how HIV/AIDS is handled at the population level in Ukraine, what would that one thing be?
I think to test everybody once a life. This will be very good thing. And then to treat people who need this.
Simple. No, but it makes, to your point, it makes sense. I think one of the reasons I'm intrigued by the universal testing is because it gets rid of a little bit the stigma. Because it's not, you're testing because you did something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just,
exactly.
No, everybody tests, no worries. Yeah. It's just everybody tests, whether it's high risk or low risk. So you don't have to be nervous about it. But when it's, we only test certain people, people are also then scared of the test because it's stigmatizing to even test in the first place. Because people make assumptions about, what did you do while you needed to get an HIV test? I can see why you said universal testing across the board is important.
This show was edited by me, Gordon Thane, with additional editing from LaShawn Benedict. Sound design and mixing by myself and LaShawn Benedict. The original music from The Music Room, composed by Tom Fox, licensed from Johnny Harris. The cover art design for our show by LaShawn Benedict. The Public Health Insight podcast is produced by PHI Media.
Thank you for listening to the Public Health Insight podcast, your go-to space for informative conversations, inspiring community action. If you enjoy our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. See you in the next one.